Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Amen. Okay, everybody has a Bible, and I trust they have a Bible.
KJV.
Amen.
Yes, we're not going to use what's over there. A nasty witch's toilet. Yes. So,
amen.
Anyway, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John, the 8th chapter, 58th verse, and keep your finger there, because I'm going to have you in another spot, Exodus 3:14. But first of all, we're going to be talking about, and we're going to be preaching on, one of the most precious names of God, which is the Great I Am. Woo! Jesus
Glory!
Is the Great I Am.
Glory!
Jesus is God.
Yes, He is.
So, in this 8th chapter, you know it well. Jesus is disputing with the so-called religious leaders, or the so-called Pharisees, which would be the modern-day Mormons. So let us stand for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to start you with 8:58. Are you there? Okay. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
Now, let's turn over to Exodus 3:14, where he's talking to Moses. And Moses. Exodus. Okay. 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent thee unto you.
Yeah.
So they're in two spots. Right. Jesus is the great I am.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, yeah.
So many of the people today are not recognizing I am.
Right.
It's so sad. Because the I Am has the greatest gift that anyone could ever have. The gift of eternal life.
Yes, does.
And I'm going to have you turning back to John 8, because there's another verse of scripture I want you to look at in this very jewel of a chapter. Because I love John chapter 8. It's such a jewel. I'm going to have you look at 24. In this very big debate, as you well know. And Jesus said unto the Pharisees, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That is why it is so crucial that we must recognize Jesus as the I Am. We definitely don't want to be found following some group who preaches another Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus is the great I Am, the Trinity, the three in one, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, and yet all one God.
Yes, they are.
The Trinity, the Blessed Trinity.
Yes,
so, I say to so many people out there that have not yet claim this gift. The times are getting very, very short, and so many still do not claim this gift. And the reason why is people are not going out and proclaiming I am. They're not proclaiming I am. I am so sick. I am so sick and tired of Christians who are just not doing anything for God.
Well,
for proclaiming the great I am. No wonder people don't want to. No wonder people are not coming to the good Christian churches, because Christians are not sticking together. There are just some Christians who just will nitpick all the time, and others that are dead. And and what we need to be doing is our work to go out and proclaim the great I Am, who is Jesus, and not just worrying about what everybody else does. In other words, mind your own business and do what God called you to do. and go tell someone about Jesus. Well, you say, they'll get mad. Well, they'll just have to get glad again.
Amen.
Well, they'll just have to. Or you say, well, I'll lose friends. Get off your high horse and get humble. It's better to have 2 saved friends than 50 unsaved friends. So, I mean, I get so sick of that excuse, because you're going to offend someone when you go and you do what's right. If you take a look at 2 Timothy 3:12, I'll show you what the Bible says here. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Okay, I'm a little far over. 2 Timothy. It's all God's word. Amen. Because we don't fool around. We use the 1611 KJV. We don't fool around with anything else. We stick with the original writings. Nope. So, 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Okay. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So yes, we will be persecuted, but there comes a time when you must decide. Whose servant are you? Are you going to serve Jesus, or are you going to serve Satan?
Right.
And again, I mean, I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'm going to have you know that Jesus said that a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So whose side are you on?
I'm all with it.
I mean, come on now, you know, persecution is something that we will suffer if we are going to live for God. Jesus suffered persecution when they took him up to Golgotha.
That's right.
So they're not going to treat us any better.
Keep going, brother. I'm listening to you.
So let's just stop all this nitpicking all the time and try to get along with each other, because we're going to have to live in heaven together. We're going to have to live together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So the best thing for all of us to do is, you know, go tell people about Jesus, mind our business, avoid the tongue, and proclaim the great I Am, as I just read in Scripture.
Yeah.
The great I Am. You know, because Jesus is, once again, the I Am. And I know that it's sometimes as difficult for some Christians to witness. I mean, I understand that. But you know why the average Christian won't witness? Because, first of all, a lot of them are lazy.
Well,
but the biggest reason is they're afraid of persecution. But I have news for these dead Christians. The will of God isn't for sissies.
Yes, yeah.
The will of God takes work. And I'm going to have you turn to another verse in John to show you the shortness of time of which we have, because Jesus said this himself here in the book of John.
Yes.
And how we have to be working, because as it's debate 4, chapter 9, the miraculous sign, chapter 9 here in John, and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day.
Yeah.
The night cometh when no man can work. So that is why it is so important we go out and we proclaim I Am.
Right.
Because when we are called of God, the evil one cannot even touch us. The evil one cannot even have us. It amazes me today how so many Christians who are saved and will not witness. It gives me a question in my mind. Were they even saved to begin with? Because if you're saved, I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'll quote it for you. Then you're under this the category of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things have passed away. All things become anew.
Yes,
this business of, oh, you just pray some little prayer and you never change. Excuse me, but there's a heart change that accompanies salvation.
Yes.
Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart,
yes,
that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, not just confessing with your mouth. You just throw out that you prayed some little prayer and you never changed. There is a heart change that accompanies salvation. You say, I'm saved, preacher. Well, why haven't you changed then? Why don't you come out of the bar? Why didn't you come to church? Why didn't you do this? I mean, why didn't you change? I mean, there is a heart change which comes to salvation. I am so sick of sorry, dead services under which your manifestation is not felt. And you know, I often think of that scripture in Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets. I ask you, when was the last time we went to our prayer closets and cried to the great I Am for souls? When was the last time we wept over our cities? When was the last time we did it? When was the last time? I tell you, my friend, you couldn't get a preacher to cry in the generation we're living in. It's just really horrible. I mean, it's just like they just will not change, and yet and there'll be some liberal commentaries coming out saying that Jesus was weeping for various reasons. Most of them ain't worth 5 cents, amen?
Come on!
They ain't worth 5 cents because Jesus was weeping over the cities.
Yes, he did.
So, when was the last time we went to our prayer closet and we prayed to go out and tell someone about the great I Am?
Wow.
So, when was the last time we did it? So, I challenge you absolutely tonight that there needs to be a change in one's life if they say that they say they are saved. There needs to be a genuine heart change. My friend Ted Alexander preached something similar to this, and he, like myself, is so sick and tired of sorry dead services, and we do need to change. We need to change. For as the scripture that Holy Spirit has just given me to read, we must work while there is day, for the night cometh that no man can work. And believe me, it's coming.
Yes.
It's coming. Because it must get worse before it gets better. Jesus is coming again. But it must get worse before it gets better. So we need to work right now, because now is the day under which we must do our work.
Yes.
And I do not speak like I'm better than anyone else. I don't want anyone else to feel as though I think I'm better than you. I am not. I'm nothing but an unworthy servant at best. I pray that there is no offense taken, because you know I am not any better than anyone in the flesh. I admit that I'm only a sinner saved by grace, as we all are in this room. But I have yet to see a lot of changes in many dead Christians to get a zeal for God. And I think it's high time we get back to our prayer closets and ask God how we can go out there and proclaim the great I Am, instead of being worldly and out there and trying to be a friend with the world, because a friend of the world is an enemy of God's.
Yes, he is.
The Bible says clearly that either you're going to choose Jesus or the world. And if you choose the world, the love of the Father isn't even in you. You can say you're saved all you want. But if you don't have, if you have the world in you, then the love of God is not in you. Because
yeah.
Jesus calls for a decision. We need to decide who we're going to serve, and he's not. And we're not going to be. We need to stop this fence riding, because it's either Jesus or Satan. We need to decide who we're going to serve.
Yes, we do.
And I mean, Jesus is calling for a decision now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, my friend. And ye do err not knowing the scriptures, friend, because if someone knew the scriptures, they would not be doing the things they do. They'd come out at a bar. They'd want to come to church. They would want to do and change, because I am dead set on the fact that the Bible says there is a heart change that accompanies salvation, because it does. So, I mean, there's so many scriptures. I could take you all the way through the book of Acts and show you that, you know, you didn't just pray some little prayer back in that day and never change. No, 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 no. So, excuse me. Excuse me, Jehovah's Witnesses, but I'll tell you, you need to get some better communication. You need to get the right Jesus, my friends. And but in order to live this kind of a life for Jesus, you have to first of all ask him. Have you consulted him? If not, why not? Because we need to be out there working for Jesus, and we need to stop all this nitpicking, all this secondary stuff. And because Jesus patiently awaits. But in Genesis 6, I'm going to have you turn over there, because I have a scripture that I want to read you, because while he's patient, I want you to see this. For the Spirit of God will not strive with men forever. So he says it right there. He's not going to strive with us forever. So, you know, and now is the time. Because, I mean, we are running out of time. My friends, things are coming. Things are really coming. The more and more I see, it just really gives me, you know, more and more faith that the rapture is soon coming. And my friends, I'm ready. The question is, are others ready? And if they're not, why not?
Yes.
And most of it is our fault, sad to say. Because Christians are so busy with the outward things, the average Christian is so busy with the outward things that they don't care about souls. We have lost our burden for souls, my friend. We have absolutely lost our burden for souls. When was the last time we went to our prayer closets and cried for souls?
Well,
our souls are dying and going to hell, and then we sit around and sit idly by. No, I'm so sick and tired of all of that, I could just throw up. I mean, it's time now that Christians stop worrying about the outward things and start worrying about what Jesus wants you to do. Because if you're going to truly depend on him, he will lead your path. As it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge thee, and I will direct thy path. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and acknowledge thy ways. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So, beautiful verse of scripture. But my question to you is, where are you in this Christian walk? Are you out proclaiming the I am, as I read in Scripture? Or are you so afraid of one's persecution that you will not be out there doing? Which are you? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Let's pray. Father, as we pray right now, Lord God, I pray for our souls and our hearts of each and every one of us in this room. Lord God, if there's even one evil thing that is in our hearts, Lord God, I do pray that we would get our hearts right and pray like David, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Help us to be better prayer warriors for you in Jesus Christ. Precious name.
Yeah.
Amen.